This is 16.9 The Podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 16.9 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 16.9 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. I've been to a few trade shows now where the fast-spinning LED light sticks, marketed as Hypervision, attract big crowds and have a lot of people whipping out their phone cameras. The technology definitely creates buzz, so I want to know more about it and the company behind Hypervision. It uses the phenomena of persistence of vision to create motion visuals that have dimension to them, a sort of hologram. When these things were one-off blades, like wall fans, I saw no real commercial opportunity. But Kinomo, the London, UK company behind Hypervision, has now figured out a way to sync multiple units and create very large motion displays. That changes things. I spoke with company co-founder Art Stavenka at Infocom and asked him some fairly pointed questions about reliability of devices that are furiously spinning all day long. Digital signage ops people don't like moving parts, and this has a lot of them. It's a relatively short chat by the normal standards of this podcast, but it's worth a listen if you've seen this tech and you want to know more. So Art, thank you for taking the time. Can you tell me what Hypervision is all about? I've seen it at trade shows. I think other people have seen it at trade shows. But what's been interesting, what I saw at ISC for the first time, was you synchronizing several of these things together. And I thought, okay, that's the big moment when this starts to make sense.
Yeah.
So maybe just describe the product, first of all.
Sure. So the Hypervision is the integrated solution for creating 3D holographic content. Basically, it's a piece of hardware that starts spinning, and as soon as it starts spinning, you can see an amazing hologram over there. And it's all about the 3D, the perception of depth, because there has been no technology over there for decades that can be scaled up.
Yeah.
So you can basically manage the network of thousands of the units like that from your armchair in the office. So that's what we do, effectively. And spot on, we introduced the one where you can synchronize several devices placed together.
Yeah.
And it opens up an opportunity to create a hologram of any size and configuration.
Right. So if people are trying to figure out what we're talking about here, if they've been to trade shows like DSC or whatever, they've seen these rapidly spinning.
Sometimes you can't see that,
yeah.
But they'll see the amazing hologram, the 3D thing.
That's called persistence of vision? Is that what is the technical
term? The phenomena of persistence of human vision is behind that.
Yeah, so it's an LED strip and it's spinning so quickly it's creating
a
three-dimensional object that's with full motion.
Yeah.
And now you've synchronized several of them, so instead of one maybe pizza-sized piece 56 of content,
centimeters,
how many can you put
so
together?
At the moment, we have available 28 units synchronized. That is around 3 meters high hologram. But effectively, there is no limit towards what technology can provide.
Mm-hmm.
So the bigger sizes are coming soon.
Yeah.
And they're coming very soon. It's going to be an unlimited size. It can be the Hollywood sign in LA.
Okay.
Can be easily replaced by that.
So I've seen at any trip show I've been at where you guys have been, there's been a lot of people around the booth. Are they looking or are they buying?
Both.
Yeah.
Obviously, out of 100 people who are attending our stand, there might be just 10 buying.
Sure.
90 of them, they're just taking out their phones and just making a video, which is a good thing as well.
Yeah.
The technology itself is brand new, and we've distributed so far around 10,000 units already with quite a big waiting list.
So where are how are they being used?
So where there are multiple applications, you can say that, the applications for standard LED LCD screens is the same over this one, but Hypervision is doing it much more effectively than the standard screens. So we can talk about retailers who are desperate to have something like that because there hasn't been a revolution in visual technologies in the offline retail for ages.
Yeah.
And they do need to compete with online, who is winning right now. So that's the first one, an obvious one, because they all want to do the sales increase, the dwell time increase, the footfall increase, etc. The second obvious one is the events, when you want to produce some wow effect at with a limited event, like the corporate party, the festival, the product launch, the store opening, etc.
Okay. I'm an ops guy. In my deep, dark past, ran large networks. I look at that stuff and I see a spinning object and I think, okay, at some point that's going to fail. And if one of those fails in an array of 28 or whatever the number is, all of a sudden it doesn't look good. So what's your counter argument? How do you deal with that?
Well, I'd say that when you talk about the technology like that, the spinning element should not scare anyone, simply because there are millions of examples over there that are doing precisely the same, and these are fans installed everywhere, in cafes, in restaurants, everywhere, and they're not failing. Right. So the spinning element is not scaring anyone, including multiple top brands we've been working with already.
Right.
So in terms of the lifetime, if you're referring to that, we calculated on the basis of the lifetime of the components used. Mm-hmm. And these are from 3 to 5 years, 24/7 lifetime.
Oh, okay. You guys designed, or are these offshore products that you're just...
Oh, no. We've created pretty much everything. And there are around 50 engineers, high-class engineers, working on the improvements. Mm-hmm. And the improvements are endless, starting from gesture recognition technologies, face recognition technologies, to the device streaming live content like that, which can be used in live conferences or, say, giving presentations.
Mm-hmm. What about energy consumption?
It's another advantage of this, because it's extremely low. It's maybe 50 watt or something. It's less than a bulb. And this is why is...
So the fact that it's wildly spinning, that's...
Not at all. It's just 50 watt. It's nothing. Especially if you compare it with LCD or LED screens, which consume much more than that.
Right. Okay. So not a big deal.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
Now, if I want to produce content for it, is it just like a video file?
The format supported is pretty much anything. MPG, MP4, whatever you want. Any standard video format is supported. However, the content needs to be 3D rendered to make the impression like that. So it can be rendered in any standard 3D software, like Maya or 3D Max. However, we attach a lot of importance to the content. We need the content to be of extremely high quality, and therefore we offer several options for our customers. So first one is we provide them with tools to convert 2D content to the great 3D content that fits all the requirements for the content for the technology.
Okay.
Secondly, we have the in-house agency which produces the content for multiple top brands literally every week.
Okay.
And also we are setting up a network of certified partners worldwide. So certified means we transfer the knowledge to them, they pass exams. When they get certified, the customers worldwide can create the content from the local certified partner.
So is part of the business model the recurring services side of it that you're doing, the creative work for customers, or is that just a means to an end?
Oh, the recurring model is definitely something that we intend to have, and this is based on the cloud services. Because the content management platform that we have, which is similar to the standard digital signage content management system, but this is our proprietary one, designed specifically for hypervision technology. So this is a cloud-based solution, and obviously the big brands would be managing and using hundreds or thousands of units. They would need the cloud services and the content management platform, so they'll be paying the monthly fees, just like everyone else in the industry for standard screens.
So you've got the same sort of scalability that a more conventional digital signage CMS would have.
So
you
can scale
hyper-target to the location, the whole nine yards. What about circumstances where you may have a retailer, for instance, who has a lot of conventional, quote-unquote, digital signage, large flat panel displays around a store, around the physical footprint, and then there's this system, and they're using another platform to manage those other displays. Is there any sort of a handshake, an API that allows these things to work?
That's what we thought, that we have been thinking from the very first time. Okay. We have an open SDK for the partners like that.
Yeah.
And we do understand that the big guys especially, they'd like to integrate our system into theirs. Yeah. And we have prepared for this, and this is certainly an opportunity.
So when I was at ISE, I saw your booth, which was substantial, had a whole bunch of people around it. I saw at least one, possibly two booths in, you know, the back 40, so to speak, of the hall, showing something with four of these things. Were those resellers or were those copycats?
You mean you've seen another booth?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So first of all, we would be probably humiliated if our technology is not copied by the Chinese at some point. And it happened, and we're quite happy about that, because the quality of the product is extremely low, and we're entering the stage with that technology in that industry where we're talking just about the premium sector.
Right.
It's just big brands, it's just the guys who are in the premium sector, and they do not want to compromise on the quality.
Right.
And all of this, if we just let alone the stuff like these guys are infringing our patents filed, they're just infringing our trademarks, and we're chasing them away everywhere.
So if I'm an unsophisticated buyer and I'm interested in this stuff, how can I tell what's good from bad apart from the brand itself?
You mean if you compare it with them?
Yeah.
You don't really need, well, we don't really need to persuade you, because we love them coming to the shows with us, because people can see with their own eyes what is their technology and what is our technology.
Okay.
And you don't really need to say anything else. It is that obvious, but every single person who comes to our booth will say, okay, you have a much better technology, we don't want to deal with a Chinese product, which on top of that can be confiscated because of their infringing nature.
In terms of physical footprint, how would it compare to, let's say, an LCD video wall in terms of cost? Is it half the cost, same cost, more cost?
It depends. You know that every single product has a particular line of life, and the LCD products or LED products, they used to be extremely expensive some time ago.
Yeah.
They found their niche and they get down to a particular price level. With regard to our technology being new, the price decrease is inevitable if we are talking about large volumes.
Sure.
So as of today, we can say that it's comparable. The price for our technology, the LCD walls, especially when we talk sizes like the wall you said, you mentioned, then in this case it's comparable. But if we talk in a year from now, our technology, I believe, is going to be even more cost-effective.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Dave. Thanks very much.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.